defeat the darkness, find the Master Sword. Nintendo's official Legend of Zelda escape room, Defenders of the Triforce, is coming soon to your city. From the creators of the original Real Escape game, Defenders of the Triforce is a massive real-life adventure game where you and your team of heroes race against the clock to claim the Master Sword and banish Ganondorf forever. Check out zelda.dorkshelf.com for dates and cities. Defenders of the Triforce by Scrap Entertainment, brought to you by Secret City Adventures. From dorkshelf.com, this is Playdead, the podcast that talks with video game developers about their thoughts and feelings about death and how they're using it in their games. I'm your host, Gabby D'Arienzo. In this week's episode, I talk with Klaus Lindeled, the CEO of Zoink Games and creator of Stick It to the Man, Zombie Vikings, and the upcoming games Fae and Flipping Death. And the trailer for Flipping Death was revealed a few months ago as part of the Nintendo Switch lineup. You can guess how full my inbox and DMs were of people excitedly sharing it with me. So, of course, I wanted to speak with Klaus about the game.
Flipping Death is about, it's about this girl called Penny who basically really early on in the game, she actually dies, which is strange. And she dies in a strange death and she, the whole world sort of flips around and she ends up on what we call the other side. And on the other side, there's all these ghosts who are sort of like in limbo. And she gets a temp job to help out Death because Death has all these ghosts that she has to take care of and he finds it kind of annoying. So he needs a little bit of help. And he wants to go on vacation, so she gets a job. And she has to help all these ghosts with all the weird problems. And as she does that, she also kind of gets the cool ability that she can actually possess living people. So when you possess the living people, the world sort of flips back again. And you are when you're inside somebody, then you are in the living world. And when you jump out of their body, you're back in the ghost world. So it's a game about puzzle and adventures and a lot of platforming too. We were doing our previous game, Stick It to the Man. It's also drawn sort of on these sort of cardboard pieces, you know, so it's artwork put on cardboard pieces and all the characters are flat, but it's sort of modeled and put in 3D. So it's almost like it's a real set. And when we were doing Stick It to the Man, somebody said, oh, it'd be kind of cool if you had like hidden Easter eggs behind each cardboard. And then we were like talking about, oh, that'd be kind of cool. But, you know, that would be a totally different game. We said, cool, if you could draw something behind the world, you know, and then we started talking about that. And then, so we actually, right after Stick It to the Man, we said, oh, we should do a prototype with that idea. So we continue with that. I mean, the inspiration is also games like Paper Mario, of course. And then, you know, a couple of movies that inspired, for example, like Corpse Bride with those two different worlds that you are switching between. I'm still a big Tim Burton fan. So when I started drawing, I wanted to draw like Tim Burton. So I still do design all the characters. So and of course, I'm sort of like the art director on the project too, since it's a small team. And so it's sort of influenced by Tim Burton, definitely starting from there and then applying your own ideas, your own sort of, you know, inspiration from other things. You merge it together with stuff like, of course, like Grim Fandango, the stuff from there. There's people talked about Book of Life, if you've seen that movie. It's quite a new one, actually, which is really inspired from The Day of the Dead. So I think it's just a mix up of all these different things. But for sure, I don't deny there's a lot of Tim Burton in there. That's true. I really think it's fun to play with humor. And it was funny because we were talking about that the other day, or actually quite early in the project too. We talked about, oh, well, if she's Death, you know, is she actually killing people, you know? And we kind of said, well, I mean, it'd be kind of sinister if she's actually killing people. So she's not really killing people. She's actually making sure that once they died, you know, then they're sort of move on nicely where they have to go. But then at the same time, it's kind of cool. There is actually a couple of people who die in the game. And it's like, but they don't really die because they just, you know, directly switch over to the other side and continue with whether in a spirit form, you know. So nobody really dies in a way. They just continue living on the other side. But yeah, I do think that it's quite funny how it's interesting and there's a lot of energy around the whole death thing. And obviously, I mean, humor is a nice and easy way to sort of approach issues we have with the things that we're scared of. And obviously most people are scared of dying. And it is kind of nice to start looking at it as, well, you don't really die. You just continue in a different form and It doesn't have to be gloomy, you know. It could be kind of funny, you know. And then, of course, there's just so much humor about people dying in ridiculous ways, you know. but you know, the humor thing is also a little bit because we worked with Stick It to the Man before, and we worked with Ryan North, who's a really great writer. He used to write on Adventure Time, the comic book, so it has that sort of feeling to it. And so he's also working with me now again on this game, which I'm super happy about because he has sort of like a really nice style that it's sort of like he actually writes the dialogue. So I come up with the sort of story and what happens and the puzzles, but he writes the dialogue. And it's kind of cool how really good dialogue just sort of adds a depth to each character. Like he can actually come up with stories, like things that are telling to each other that adds sort of like another layer to it. And we really wanted to have that, especially because the game is, you are in this little village called Flatwood Peaks, and all the different characters know each other, and they are all, you know, you'll get back to each character several times in each chapter of the game. So over time, you'll get to know them more and more. So we want each character to really have a lot of depth to them. You know, almost like when you watch a lot of Simpsons episodes, you know what each character is about and what they like, what they don't like, and who they are in love with, and who they hate, or who they had another child with, or something like that. You know, so really like building that up through the game. I mean, we put a lot of heart in each character too. So we're not like, we never write it as Family Guy. We always write it as Simpsons, you know, or something like that. There's actually a lot of like really nice episodes in there where we take it quite seriously. We don't kick down on people or make them feel bad in the characters. You know, we always try to have a little bit of heart in each character. We try to make the characters lovable at the same time. So I think that's quite important for this game. I wanted the dead world to look really like a jungle, almost. So I just wanted to overgrown plants everywhere, you know, just like really wild, basically, because it's kind of like the dead world is kind of like a limbo that's been left to its own, where there's no really, it's not a place where the dead are running around in. It's just a place where they're stuck in for a while. It's all more like the limbo before they move on to whatever religion they're believing in. They go to that place or whatever their next place is. So it's almost just like, you know, the cupboard behind the whole thing, you know, this garage of stuff that's just been overgrown behind it, you know. Yeah, so it's a middle place before we move on to the next. Yeah, and one neat thing we do, I don't know if you see that in the trailer, but we have that each object, like is it a house, you flip it around and then you'll see many of these objects, the houses or a car or something like that, is actually these weird monsters. So a lot of them have actually double meanings, basically, in a way. So for example, there's a puzzle where you have to move a trash can. Actually, it's a paint can. You have to move a paint can in the living world to a specific place. But by doing that, you actually have to, on the other side, the paint can is actually a monster. So you can lure that with food that it likes to move it through the world to get it to the specific place you want it to be in the living world. Yeah, it's really fun as an artist to actually have, oh, here's a house that looks kind of boring. If I flip it around, what could it be in the other world? Just come up with some kind of crazy monster or come up with a funny shape, or what does it actually look like? So the silhouettes are have like, you know, as long as you can fit it into the silhouette of the real object, then it can be in that.
Let's take a break from talking about death in games for a minute and instead talk a little bit about one of Playdead's sponsors, FreshBooks. FreshBooks is a cloud-based accounting software program that is very easy to use and it's designed to help you work smarter, get organized, and get you paid quickly. Use FreshBooks to create and send clean and professional-looking invoices in about 30 seconds. You have the option to connect your bank account or credit card to FreshBooks so you can receive online payments directly and also keep an eye on your expenses as they automatically import into your account every day. The new dashboard and notification center tell you how your business is doing and makes it easy for you to figure out what invoices have or have not been paid yet. FreshBooks really is fantastic and I highly recommend trying it out whether you're a freelancer or you have your own game studio or you're just looking for easy to use accounting software. You can sign up for a free 30-day trial, no credit card required, if you go to freshbooks.com/playdead. Be sure to enter playdead in the how did you hear about us section to let them know that we sent you. Klaus and Zoink Games are also working on another game right now in partnership with EA Originals called Fae.
Basically a game about connecting to nature again and finding out a way to communicate with nature. It's a very beautiful game that has actually almost no cutscenes. It's about learning how to actually communicate with animals through different sounds that you can do, but also through, in a way, through music, but mostly through sounds, and finding out ways to solve problems and puzzles by talking to these really strange animals that live in this forest. It's also a lot about exploring and finding your own way through a forest and discovering this world. There is parts of the art that is about, you know, what happens with the creatures when they die and when they relive, and what actually, how the whole ecosystem works, because it's a sort of ecosystem built into this. But it's not so much about death. It's more about being alive. I do think a lot about death myself too, actually, but not about in games, just in general in life, actually. I am trying to get to cope with it, basically, the fear, you know, because there's a lot of fear to it. I had a few years back, did you ever heard about the swine flu? I think it's called. So in Sweden, we got these, you have to take these medicine, and they gave out this medicine to all the people that it's, you had to get a shot, you know, to get protected against swine flu. And they didn't actually check it enough. So when I got the swine flu, I got epilepsy from that because the medicine was bad, basically. So I have epilepsy now because of taking that medicine. Yeah, it's pretty shitty. One of the things you realize when you have epilepsy is that having epilepsy, I feel, feels a little bit like your body basically shuts down almost like as much as when you die, you know. So you basically, it's not like sleeping, and it's not like, you know, being unconscious. It's a bit like being unconscious, but it's even more, you know. So that actually gave me a lot more fear of death after, because you start thinking about a lot more death. So is this really how it feels like when you're dead, you know, when you have an attack of epilepsy? Because that's really scary, and that's really dark, and it's kind of really sad in a way, because you do really disappear totally. You're gone, you know, and then you wake up and you're like, whoa, what happened? I'm alive again, you know. I don't think that's why I'm making the game. I don't think that has anything to do with that, because I had the idea before that. But I do hope it's not that. I hope there's something else after dying, because I think it's kind of sad. I think for me, it's quite hard to work with something that where you are, if you deal with a quite strong or sad subject, I couldn't make it too serious, because working with it for like a year or 1.5 years or something like that, or even longer, you know, it's just too depressive, really, to work with that subject for so long. You know, it's fine enough if you think about it for a couple of hours and you're like, ooh, I'll get back to doing something happy and funny, you know. But actually dealing with it with developing a game about something that's kind of dark as death, you kind of turn it into something. You have to sort of deal with it in a humorous way, because else it gets too, yeah, it's too sad and it's too gritty, basically. At least that's how it is for me, you know. Yeah, it would be hard for me to do a very serious game that's really dark and you know, dealing with, even for me to do, like, it's weird. I can even watch like a movie like, you know, I can watch a movie like The Matrix and find that too depressive, you know. I'm kind of like a quite happy person that watches stupid happy movies and just generally try to keep happy, you know. What we do here, of course, is that we deal with it in a humorous way, and that way you can get closer to it without getting too scared, you know. We do talk about things in the game that are like, I mean, of course, the character in the beginning of the game, she dies, you know, so that's a big problem, and then she sort of had to figure out why did she die. Is it, and also there's a little bit of a subject in the game where she kind of finds out, do I want to still keep being dead, or do I want to go back to life, you know, having that sort of, there's actually a little bit of a choice for her, you know. Yeah, and I think as soon as you start having a game about death, then you start thinking a little bit about death, you know, and then that's maybe a good way to get closer to it, you know, in a nice way.
Special thanks to Klaus for speaking with me on this episode. You can learn more about his studio Zoink Games by visiting zoinkgames.com and follow them on Twitter at Zoink Games. Klaus himself is also on Twitter at Klaus Lingelid. You can also follow development on Fae and Flipping Death by visiting fae-game.com and flippingdeath.com respectively. The music used in this episode comes from the Flipping Death soundtrack, which was composed by Gustav Davidson and Eric Bengston, and the Phase soundtrack, which was composed by Joel Bill. The Playdead podcast is a proud member of the Dorkshelf podcast family. You can listen to more episodes of Playdead and check out Dorkshelf's other podcasts on dorkshelf.com. One of my current favorites of theirs is The Shelf, which is Dorkshelf's official podcast covering all things quote-unquote geeky, including films, TV shows, video games, and pretty much everything else you can think of. Thank you so much again for listening and supporting the Playdead podcast. You can follow Playdead on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr at Playdeadcast. And if you're enjoying Playdead, please consider leaving a review or subscribing, as it greatly helps out our podcast. Thank you so much.